Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast. As we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale, please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a very serious issue, I think. It is the issue that just has just taken place in Uvalde, Texas, where 19 students were shot, and either 2 or 3, there's confusion in the media reporting on that, 2 or 3 teachers. A Border Patrol agent rushed in, got between the shooter and the students, and took a bullet in his leg, but he was able to neutralize the shooter, so that in doing so, probably saved dozens, if not hundreds, of lives in his action. I'm thankful for that. We have on the line with us today one of our 4 sons, Glenn. Glenn is a retired law enforcement officer. We're talking with Glenn about the spiritual element and the legal law enforcement element of what has taken place. And so I'm thankful that Glenn can join us today. Glenn, let's pick up as we were talking before the break, before our news break. One of the things that I find that is interesting and sad at the same time, even though it is a sad factor as to what has taken place, and even with Ramos's family, I'm sure there are family members that they're grieving now over his life being taken, but he was the shooter. But let me just read a blurb or 2, Glenn, and get your take on it response. This is, I've gleaned from about 8 different articles, and Ramos reportedly was a lonely person. That's how he was reported, as a lonely person, by his schoolmates, by some of his teachers, and by the some of his supervisors at Wendy's, where he was working. He once said he was a person that was said to be bullied because of his feminine talk, his feminine attire. He was wearing lipstick, wigs, makeup, eyeliner, and dressing as a girl. And Glenn, I say that he was either a person that was considering transsexual move, or he was a wannabe transsexual, or he was suffering simply from sexual dysphoria, which I think, and I contend very, very majorly, is as a result of what is taught in our public school system. Would these things have motivated him to fight back, to, how would you say, blow up at others and want to retaliate? Are these things could be would play into what you see from law enforcement that took place?
It could absolutely be a factor. The ones that have been bullied, picked on, or looked down upon, or talked about, it creates a psychological trauma. We can't go too deep into what was in his mind, except for the fact that he did something completely outrageous and immoral to go into this school and kill the teachers and the children. But those folks are out there. I think the bigger problem we've got here, I mean, that mental illness is definitely an issue. The schools, by way of federal funding, pushing CRT and transgender stuff, these kids are absolutely going to come out confused and possibly teased by other students. I mean, we can't stop that. These are children. But we do a better job of securing our homes. We do a better job of securing our vehicles, but not the kids. Isn't this strange? We've allowed the devil into the classroom for all the anti-God teaching. They can't mention anything about God, but they can tell you about their personal sexual lifestyle, the teachers, that is. In Florida now, it's against the law for them to do that, which is a great stand that Governor DeSantis has taken. But we had something called crime prevention through environmental design, CPTED, that we call it SEPTED, where we would go to a business or a home and point out the ways that they could better secure the home or the business. You keep the bushes below the window so someone can't hide behind the bushes and break into the window of a home or a business. Anything that needs to be repaired, like broken windows, is actually another unit of this called broken window theory. If something is being targeted for graffiti or breaking glass in an abandoned building in a neighborhood, it has to be repaired immediately because it's like kudzu vines that grow all over everything. It starts to spread, and then that particular building and then that neighborhood or that community starts to go down. But we've got deadbolt locks on the doors. We've got the long screws that go into the door jamb because the majority of all burglaries, they'll knock on the door. If nobody's home, they'll go around, they'll kick a door open. Well, the deadbolts do really good, but the door jamb is on the ground because the screw is only about an inch long instead of 3 inches going into a stud. There are ways to secure the home. We have burglar alarms on the windows, all the sensors, windows and doors. We have fire suppression systems, okay, so that the building won't burn down, or a sprinkler system. All the things are monitored for burglary or theft and fire, and we've done an excellent job, especially in our schools, okay? Why was there no protection for the human beings? There was protection for the building. I guarantee you they lock all the doors at night. There are protocols for locking down the school, and we had the same classes for locking down the church, where if it's on the outside of the school, everything locks down, all children are brought into their rooms, and all those doors are locked, okay, and secured, so there can be minimal loss of life or damage to human beings. Was that not in effect there? Did they think that because nothing has happened there, that nothing would happen? That's a sheep mindset. Very difficult to get a person who has never been through such a trauma to realize that there are big bad wolves out there that will attack and eat the sheep. I'm talking about our innocents, our children. And then the mindset of the adults that should be protecting the children are, well, you know, guns are bad. We don't want them in the school. All right. Well, the gun got in the school. Why didn't you have somebody with a gun to protect them from coming in? That's why we assigned police officers to schools, especially elementary and middle schools, but they also have them in high schools. But our most precious asset is our future, then the future of the children. Why were they not protected in such a fashion as we protected homes and cars and businesses? Okay? There are protocols that should have been in effect. Why weren't they? There are wolves out there. Whether they started off as a wolf or not, or if it's a mental illness that drives them to that point where they become a predator, they're out there. We can't pretend they're not.
Glenn, Biden
is talking about more common sense gun control. Here's a really big suggestion. Maybe someone should swallow this one. Enforce the law. Prosecute the criminals. Enforce the laws that are on the books and prosecute the criminals. If we did that, it would knock this down greatly. How it would have affected this particular case, I'm not really, really sure, but I'll tell you this. I arrested the same people over and over and over and over again, even for petty crimes, and they would go to jail. We put them in jail, and they come right back out the next day. They didn't get 5 days. They didn't get 10 days. They didn't get 30 days. They barely got 24 hours. They laughed at us. They're going to get right back out. This particular situation, they're saying that he was 18 and bought a gun, okay, and supposedly lawfully. If he had a track record of any mental illness, he should have not passed a background check. He shouldn't have passed a background check to get a firearm. We've got folks that actually are convicted felons that have been able to go through and get guns legally because they didn't get prosecuted for having a gun before, and they didn't get prosecuted for lying on a background check. You understand what I'm saying? And most criminals, they have a habit of breaking the law for a reason. We call them criminals, okay? They steal guns. They will break into police cars to get them. They'll break into your home to get them. They come to nice neighborhoods, okay, in an area that doesn't have a lot of crime, and pull on all the door handles, hoping there'll be a gun in the glove box, okay, that they can steal. Bad guys don't follow the rules, which is why we must prosecute and incarcerate the bad guys to protect the citizens.
They'll tell you, oh, we don't have enough money. One of the things that I want to bring to your attention, you may already know this, and it sets the stage. I understand from most of the media that he had argued with his grandmother about not graduating, and he shot her, got in his truck, and then sped down the highway and stopped and jumped out and went into the Robb Elementary School. I'm looking at an article that gives a little scenario to that. He says, this article says that Ramos messaged a woman he knew on Instagram. He tagged her in a photo holding his guns. He says in his post, "You going to get my gun pictures?" Direct message to the girl at 12 on May the 12th. "What your gun got to do with me?" she replied. "You want to tag me?" he said back. Then at 5:43 a.m. on Tuesday, he messaged her and said, "I'm about to," and the girls asked, "What are you about to do? Tell me before 11 o'clock. He said he'd text her in an hour and urged her to respond. Quote, "I got a little secret I want to tell you," he messaged while with a smiley face emoji covering his mouth. "Be grateful I tagged you," he wrote. She replied, "No, it's scary," adding, "I barely know you, and you tag me in a picture with some guns," end quote. So, Glenn, the point that I make in reading that excerpt from the massive article on that, it wasn't something, in my opinion, that just happened in a spur of the moment. This was, I believe, planned and meditated on, and it goes back to the question, was it the school's fault? Was it the gun's fault? Was it the government's fault? Where do we lay the fault, or was it all of the above? And it certainly was not God's fault, because God has created us in his image. God's word in Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is wicked, deceitfully wicked. Who can know it?" This is as a wicked heart. And he displayed his weapons on social media, basically bragging about, "Look at me, I'm a tough guy." And the articles that I've read said that he had bought two rifles at his 18th birthday for his birthday gift to himself. According to law enforcement, he had purchased these pair of rifles for his birthday gift to himself. Ramos was wearing body armor. That means it was planned and premeditated. What is your take on that? Is it something that you think was just spur of the moment? He flew off the handle, shot his grandmother, got in the car, drove off, and did this. If he shot his grandmother on the spur of the moment because of an argument, where did the time come in for him to armor up, put on body armor, and get his rifles ready and get in the vehicle and go? What do you understand about this? What's your take on that?
No, you're hitting the nail on the head. This was not something that was a spur of the moment action. It wasn't a reflex. This was planned. In Duval County, they have up billboards that says, "See something, say something." How does that translate? If you see something that doesn't look right, okay, there's a pretty good chance something's not right. This didn't happen in the spur of the moment. It was planned. Isn't it interesting that he had time to buy weapons and then, I guess, of course, ammunition and supplies, and he had body armor, okay? And there should have been some trail. There should have been some idea that there was a problem here, okay, whether grandma knew or not. I don't know if he lived with grandma, if he lived with his regular parents, or if he had regular parents, or if they were deceased or divorced. It doesn't say. That'll probably come out in the next 6 months. But somebody should have noticed something was wrong. If he shot and killed his grandmother, I'll almost guarantee you that there was a physical altercation in the past, some sort of domestic violence situation, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. somebody should have said something. Did grandma not call the police? Did grandma not realize that he was a threat? By the time he goes with his attitude and the way he treated his grandmother, wouldn't it have been a huge clue that he went out and bought a couple of rifles on his birthday? I'm trying to tell you, somebody knew something that could have stopped this scenario from unfolding, but they didn't take any action. It's like sitting in your house looking across the pond and you see somebody crawl through the window of a house. Is that normal? No, it's not normal. Okay? Generally, that means that someone's breaking into the house. All right? I actually made contact. It was the neighbor who got himself locked out of his house. He was a pretty chunky fellow to be going through a window, but I watched him go through and then put the screen back in and close the window, which is odd because generally they just break the window, go in, steal stuff, and leave. But if you see something that doesn't look right, do something. It's amazing, even in some of the other shooting situations in other states, other cities, that people will film it. They'll record it on their phone, but they won't call the police. They'll have the video, but they don't do anything. It's amazing. It's amazing. If they're the victim, they'd want help. Okay? Yeah, that's wonderful that you got it on a recording for the police later, but why not stop the victim from being killed? There were elements of this unfolding. Someone should have seen. Someone knew. Even this. I've got the photos on my screen because I read the same articles, took screenshots of the photos, of the conversation that they were having back and forth. I hoped that we would have hoped that this woman who was receiving these messages, they were obviously some sort of pen pal relationship, okay, for them to even be communicating. But he was sending her pictures of guns and then claiming that something was going to happen. This is a huge clue. Somebody should call somebody, right? Maybe this whole thing could have been avoided if one person had taken action. Just one had taken action. All of the loss of life could have been averted.
Absolutely. Glenn, one very serious question, and I have a feeling that you would know the answer. Would one more gun control law have stopped this?
Absolutely.
And
not.
In retrospect, will one more gun control law stop future events like this? Let me just pause for a moment after that question before you answer it. Chicago has some of the most serious gun control laws on the books. New York, Delaware, some places in California, et cetera, et cetera. In fact, all of California have major gun control laws. For example, last weekend alone in Chicago, 27 people were shot. 27 people. And yet they have major restrictions on buying a gun. If you buy a gun legally, it takes you 6 months to a year to go through the process to get a permit to carry your weapon, legally to carry your weapon. But yet they have anywhere from one to three dozen shootings every weekend in Chicago. So speak to the issue of those that are listening that think that somehow, some way, we need to have more gun control laws. I'm looking at an article here that says, bang, bang, gun rights groups warn that Joe Biden is setting up a national firearms database. And it goes into the details that they've already got 50 million citizens records that own guns, and they're putting them in a federal databank, which is a federally illegal transaction that's taking place. How should we see this from a legal law enforcement standpoint? Would that be the right thing to do, another law, or getting more people caught up in the database to know where your guns are for future confiscation? How do you respond to that? What's your thought as retirement law enforcement?
Well, let's look at it from this point of view, because my answer to the question is no, it would not make a difference. It would not. What it would do was disarm honest citizens. Mm-hmm. Okay, the people who obey the law won't have the ability to defend themselves and their families. The criminals are going to steal the guns. They're going to, wherever they are, if they've broken into police cars to steal a rifle or a shotgun, it happens all the time. The protocol became that the weapon would be secured in the police officer in the trunk of the car while on duty, and then somewhere else if they were going to be parked for a while. And there's a cable lock that they ran through to help prevent that, help slow it down. But, you know, people are crafty. They know how to break things and steal weapons. Let's look at what happened just before Christmas. I think it was a Christmas parade where a man drove a vehicle through the parade, deliberately running over a whole group of elderly white women, okay? And he'd already voiced his hatred of white people on his rant on Facebook or whatever, okay, and drives over them, kills them with a car. Did we restrict driver's licenses? Did we recall the cars? Did we, you know, put some sort of – it'd be silly to even think this way – put some sort of cushioned bumper on the front of vehicles in case a pedestrian were to get hit? No, that's insanity. How many drunk driving crashes did we have in the last year where children were killed? Okay, I just read an article. It was approximately 250 children died last year in drunk driving accidents. All right, what are we doing about that? Okay, the drunk drivers that get arrested and then they're pleading their case for however long before they actually get a sentence. Generally, if they haven't killed anybody, they can plead to reckless driving and it'll go against their record, okay, and they walk with the minimum. If they kill somebody, it's generally a manslaughter issue with a DUI, and they might get 2 to 5 years. Do you see the problem? Mm-hmm. But they didn't recall any cars. They didn't restrict anybody's regular driving privileges unless they had been through the system already as a criminal. They get the minimum amount of time. We're not talking about common sense vehicle control, are we? it's not even out there. It sounds ridiculous, right? But it's not the vehicle. It's not the gun. It's the person in control of that. People want to assign blame to an inanimate object, okay? Did you know more people are killed with blunt force trauma? They'll use a hammer, okay? They'll use a chair. They'll use a baseball bat. We have people that get stabbed. But you can still go to the store and buy kitchen knives. It's a really strange thing. In the United Kingdom, in Great Britain, okay, you can't have a pocket knife or a tool or a screwdriver on you. It's considered a weapon. But does it stop the people who are killing people? You know, the Islamists have been instructing their people through the Aspire magazine how to make weapons, how to make explosive devices, how to create mayhem and disaster. But they particularly said they could use large vehicles to drive through crowds of people. Wow. Okay. But we're not restricting vehicles. But we've taken all the way down to the fingernail file out of the pocket of the common citizen because he could use that as some sort of a weapon.
Yes. Glenn, let's take a moment. I want to drill down on something before our time is out for today's broadcast. Bill Maher made a statement, and I'm not holding him up as an example, of course, anybody that knows the name. Bill Maher sounds the alarm on exploding LGBTQ numbers. We're literally experimenting on our children, he says. He goes on, if we follow this trajectory, we will all be gay by 2054. And he talks about the fact that he pointed out that no more than 20% of the Generation Z Americans identify as LGBTQ, gradually increasing to 2.6% of the baby boomers who identified as such. And then he says, if we follow this trajectory, we'll all be gay by 2054, he said in a sarcastic jab at the exploding share of Americans who identify as LGBTQ. I'm saying that, Glenn, because in our public school system, we're indoctrinating these kids. There's over 100 different genders. The gender is fluid, and you may think that you may be birthed as a girl, but you really are a boy. The doctor just made a mistake in identifying your sexuality when you were birthed. And I go back to that because this young man, this 18-year-old demonically inspired, demonically controlled mind, was heavily involved in either cross-dressing or in the process of transitioning to a girl from a boy. Therefore, he was made fun of, laughed at, and mocked at in the schools because of wearing the wig, wearing the eyeliner, wearing the makeup, wearing the dresses, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. A boy looking like a girl. He was shunned at his work with Wendy's because of his quiet personality. And I believe that this is part and parcel in our schools, Glenn, and I know I'm preaching to the choir. In our schools, we teach the sodomite lifestyle. We're teaching the Hate America and the 1619 Project, the CRT, critical race theory, which is dividing the minds and destroying the minds with brainwashing and indoctrination, along with the mixture, admixture of drugs. And I have not read anything about this young man, but more than likely he had been on or was presently on some type of drugs, and that was the modus operandi that was used to carry out this horrific attack. We do not teach Bible in the school. We do not allow prayer in the schools. Jesus cannot be in the schools, but all of this immoral, ungodly, unholy attacks on faith, family, and our liberties in America are taught in our indoctrination, brainwashing systems called the governmentally controlled schools. So with that being basically bottom line, what is the answer? How should we respond? What should be done? What should our legislators do? What should we ask our school board members to do? What should we ask our legislators to do?
Well, we have pulled God out of everything, pushed him out of everything, and created a vacuum. The vacuum cannot remain. It sucks in something, and it has sucked in all of the immoral activities and ways of the devil is what I'm driving at here. Even an atheist that says that there is no God and doesn't worship God, by being an atheist, they put themselves in God's place, and they worship themselves. Therefore, anything that they do in their mindset is okay. Nothing is immoral if there is no God. By taking God out of the equation and not teaching the children about God, they believe they can do whatever they want. And it's only illegal if they get caught doing something that's, you know, against the law, right? And then they want to fight the system because they want their rights. They want the right to kill unborn children. In fact, quite frankly, Biden and his cronies don't have a problem at all killing children. It's just if you kill a child with a gun, then we need to attack guns. But you have the choice to terminate a pregnancy and an abortion, which is murder, okay? And they're all about that. Do you see the hypocrisy? Do you see the insanity?
Absolutely. Glenn, hold your thought there. I believe we have Alan on the line. Alan, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Young. Glenn, how are you, brother?
I'm doing great. I pray that you are.
I'm okay. Glenn, hi, sir. I just wanted to comment, yes, this is a horrible tragedy. My heart is with the families. I can kind of relate. Just this last July, my sister was a police officer for St. Augustine Beach. And her husband, also a police officer for St. Augustine, St. John's County. And they moved to Colorado, and there was an argument, and he took his firearm and discharged at her 17 times, hit her once in the back of the head, and walked up and shot her execution style. The thing that makes it difficult is it was in front of their six-year-old who was cowered down in the back seat. And it was all over the news in Aurora, Colorado. It was horrible, but it's a tragedy just like this with, and I just feel that, you know, God's coming back soon, and you know, he's calling all the children, but I know that, you know, my sister's in heaven, and I know all the children in that tragedy that just happened that I've been hearing you speak about, is they're all in heaven, and we can rejoice, but it doesn't make it easier for the parents and the pain of missing someone, and I can understand and I relate.
Yes. Alan, thank you so much for your call and for your input.
Terrible.
Our hearts go out to you and the loss of your sister. Glenn, how do you respond to that? We've got about a minute and a half.
Well, if God is not in the center of that relationship, it can absolutely go south. Okay. The fact that he was a police officer and took someone else's life. I don't know. Did he say it was a suicide? It was a homicide and a suicide. I didn't hear what happened to the officer. He was arrested or survived.
Right.
But if God is not in the center of relationship and it goes south, anything can happen. It's especially sad if it's somebody who'd been, police officer or military or someone in a position of respect and using a weapon. But only God can fix the problem. Only
yes.
God. It's not the inanimate objects. It's not the tool they use to hurt somebody or kill somebody. It is the mindset. Murder happens in the mind first. They hate someone to the point in their mind they could kill them. And it has already created the situation, the scenario, and the planning to carry out such an event. It happens in the mind first. It's called hate. That's why in the New Testament, God or Jesus was telling them that they should not hate their brother. It was the equivalent of murder. Okay? How can they say they love God who they haven't seen when they can't even love or forgive their brother who they have seen? Mm-hmm. All right? People want to assert their right. They want to be right in the argument so much to the point that they will do anything to try to prove their right. And they literally have a hate mindset, and they will take a person's life.
So, Glenn, the bottom line is, I think, as we close the broadcast, the bottom line is we need to pray, seek God's face, confess our sins, asking God to heal our land. Is that a summary thought?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Only God can fix these problems because it's happening in the minds of the people.
That's right. Glenn, thank you for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issue. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again, we face the issues.
12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.